Okay. I'll try and speak loud enough for everyone to be able to hear. Just to introduce myself again, I've met a lot of familiar faces in the crowd already. Thank God it's been an amazing few days here. But for anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Menachem Pollack. I'm from Boston, and I'm in my second year in Smicha NYU. And thank God, I want to just thank everyone. I mean, we've had a lot of thank yous so far, but they're deservedly so, really. We've been here for a while, and we appreciate everything that every single person here has done, whether it be hosting for meals, whether it be just talking, whether it be showing up to shiurim. That's important, you know. It's good for us also. We put in the work, and we appreciate when you guys are here, you know. So thank you for being here as well. And thank you for everything you guys have done. This has been such a mutually beneficial week of learning for both us and I hope you guys as well. So thank you so much for that. So I wanted to begin with what I think is a very powerful story. I heard this story in a shiur from Moshe Weinberger in New York. And the story goes like this. He actually wasn't sure if it was true, but the message itself, I think, is valuable, even if the facts may not be perfectly true. So it was a few years ago in London. They were having a poetry competition, and there were many competitors, right? They would read off different poems, and whoever was the most impressive or the best reader would move forward. Ultimately, after much reading and after much competition, there were three finalists left. The poem that the competition gave to the three finalists to read wasn't a sonnet from Shakespeare, and it wasn't the Odyssey, and it wasn't a poem from Edgar Allan Poe. They gave them chapter 23 Psalms, Tehillim Chav Gimel, arguably the most famous parak in Tehillim, both to Jews and non-Jews, Mizmor LeDavid, Hashem Roi Lo Echsar. Right? A song to David, a song of David. God is my shepherd, right? I lack nothing. And they begin to read, each one after the next. There's one young man who's clearly the winner. He has the diction, he has the inflection. Everything is perfect about the way that he reads. The entire audience stands in a standing ovation, applauding him, cheering for the impressive read of Psalm 23. The judges, having clearly made their decision, are about to award this young man his award for winning the competition. And suddenly an older European Jew, he yells from the back, he says, "Judges, judges!" In his European accent, he says, "Judges, judges, can I give that a try? Can I say chapter 23? They smirk a little bit to themselves. They think, who is this guy? He doesn't know what he's doing. But they say, you know what? It'll be amusing. At the very least, at the end of this competition, we'll be able to laugh a little bit. They say, okay, Rabbi, come down. So not only is this older European Jew, does he have a heavy European accent, but he also looks like one. Right? He's wearing his hat. He's wearing his frock. And he walks down to the stage. He gets up on the stage. And in his broken English, he begins to say, a psalm, a song of David. Hashem, my shepherd, God, my shepherd, I lack nothing. Upon green pastures have you laid me. On peaceful waters have you led me. And after reading the entire chapter of Tehillim, initially there were laughs, there were smirks. And all that was left were tears. Silence. He slowly walks off the stage and leaves the room. The judges award the young man who initially had won the competition his award. The young man grabs the award and runs outside. He screams out, "Rabbi, Rabbi, I don't deserve this. You deserve this." The rabbi turns to him and says, "What do you mean? I wasn't competing. And anyway, you did a great job. Like, it's okay. You can take the award. I don't need this." The young man turns to him and says, "At least answer me this. I may have won the competition, but I don't understand. Why is it that when I read chapter 23, the entire place was cheering? A standing ovation, the happiness. But when you read it, there was silence. There was tears. And he said, the rabbi responded to this young man. He said, the difference between me and you is that I know the shepherd. I have a relationship with him. I called this year the other shidduch crisis. A, to make it a little sticky. But B, because there really is a little bit of a crisis that we have in understanding who is this shepherd that we relate to. The Torah that we're about to learn was life-changing for me when I first learned it. It reshaped so much of my day. Ultimately, we're going to focus on brachos. Brachos makes up much of our day, right? Out both inside of tefillah and outside of tefillah. We're not going to address every single issue. We're not going to answer every single question. But what I'm trying to do here is not trying to address the ends of the earth in every aspect of Hashkafa. I'm trying to open our minds. For those who know about this already, very nice. I'm happy to provide a little bit of chazara. For those that don't, I think this could be the beginning of maybe reevaluating our perspective on our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Pretty much everything that we're going to learn today is from Rav Chaim Volozhiner in his Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. Now, Rav Willig mentioned this morning, he quoted from the Ruach Chaim in trying to figure out the difference between the language of Mekabel versus to be Moser. I was very nervous because when he first quoted him before he mentioned what he was talking about, I thought he might say what I was going to say today. But thank God he did it. He said it, I mean, if he would have, he would have said it better than I was going to say it. But he did it, so I still have something to talk about. And we're going to be talking about Rav Chaim Volozhiner, not Perush on Pirkei Avos, but rather from his Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. His philosophical work, it has many parts, five parts, four of them are Sha'arim, they're gates. We're going to be talking about the second gate. The second gate is primarily dealing with tefillah. Rav Chaim Volozhiner, just to give a little bit of background, was the founder of the Volozhiner Yeshiva in what I believe was at the time under the Russian rule. I think maybe it's changed. I looked that up, but I believe that's what I remember looking up. He's a big gaon from previous generations, and we're zochah to be able to learn his Torah today. So let's start with a pasuk that I think we all know. We say it every single day in Shema. The first paragraph of Ve'ahavta. The pasuk says in source one, Ve'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha. V'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol me'odecha. Right? And you should love, and you will love Hashem your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your ma'od. We'll leave that, it's a difficult word to translate. Just to deal with ma'od right now, before we get into the other two, which are what our primary focus will be. V'chol me'odecha, with all of your ma'od, Rashi brings two perushim ala Torah. Rashi says, v'chol me'odecha, with all of your ma'od, could either be all of your money, or it could be every midah that you possess. We have many midos as human beings. We have kas, we have anger, we have love, we have rachamim, all different midos. And he says, b'chol me'odecha could also refer to every midah, every character trait, every attribute that we have. You should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with that. Or all of your money. Okay, that's b'chol me'odecha. I want to focus on the first two. B'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha. B'chol levavcha, you should love Hashem with all of your heart. So we had a ha'ara. I'm sorry, I don't know your name, but...
My name is Pollock, too.
Oh, okay. Very nice. So this gentleman over here, Yossi, made a ha'ara to me. He said, B'chol levavcha, what is a lev? When we talk about our lev, of course we're not referring to the biological lev. That's Aleph, right? The first thing. We're not referring to the physical heart. We're referring to the reference point of a heart, right? The heart, not what you're learning in Eilat Trefus, right? We're learning the Daf Yomi, Chulin. We're learning about the heart. But that's the physical heart. Here we're talking about your emotional heart, which is, of course, in your brain. I mean, I know you guys, we know this, but I just wanted to point out the Ha'ara. So, v'chol levavcha, with all of your heart is the source of emotion, right? You love with your heart, but not just a part of it, all of it. What does this refer to? When we talk about the mitzvah of Avas Hashem b'chol lev, we're talking about quantity. We're talking about, I've heard very often, there's marriage advice kind of thrown around all the time, you know, especially at this point in my life. And that could be whether it be from Jewish people or non-Jewish people. And one of the you know, classic, I would say, advice that's given is that marriage is all about compromise. Marriage is all about compromise. Now, I don't want to take away from that because colloquially I think it's true. But I want to ask Akasha. I just want to ask a question on that. The implication of what it means for marriage to be all about compromise is that there are two differing opinions. There are two differing people that need to come together and both give up a part of what they want as individuals in order to work as a couple. Do we agree with that?
Yes.
You don't agree? Please, give it to me.
It has to be 100% for the other person. Ooh. If you compromise, you're not going to make it.
Okay. You're Mechavi. I'm not married, so... By the way, I'm not married. I have less of a reference point. I had a difficult time understanding. I was reading a parish on Nefesh HaChaim when learning through this, and the parish of Elia Weintraub, Yiras Chaim, it's called. And I understood the words he was saying, but I couldn't exactly put my finger on it. And I even knew of this concept that I'm telling you now, and then I ended up discussing with Rabbi Edelman, and he helped me understand this in more depth. So all of you understand this in a greater way, most probably than I understand it. But this idea that marriage isn't about compromise. We know that our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is brought down al pi derech mashal, in a mashal through Shir HaShirim, as a husband and wife. There are two halves of a whole, right? It's not about what I want and what you want. It's about what we want. It's about making decisions together. What's better for us as a whole, as one, not as two individuals coming together, but rather becoming one entity. When we talk about b'chol levavcha, it's saying there is no part of my lev that is separate from you, al Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's no part that needs to sacrifice for you because it's what's best for me as well. Right? That's my own heart. It's two halves of a whole. It's one. It's what's best for us as a single entity. That's b'chol levavcha. B'chol nafshecha is a little bit different. B'chol nafshecha refers to our soul. Right? Of course, they're interdependent and there is overlap between the two. B'chol nafshecha is our life force. Our nefesh is what keeps us alive. And we're saying we have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, love Him with all of our life force. That's quality, not quantity. With such intensity that we would be willing to give up our very lives. I'm just wondering, if I was speaking to some people my age, of course the answer would be none, but I'm just wondering, how many people here were in the American or Israeli army? Do we have any? We have some, okay. Right, that's unique. That's unique. If typical people, you know, typical Jews my age now, I would say probably, at least from the modern Orthodox background, are a bit fewer. So you know what, for those who have been, you know what it means to be willing to give your life, right? To be willing to take a bullet, to have a relationship with such intensity, whether it be to your nation, whether it be your fellow comrades, that I'm willing to die for them. There are three cardinal sins brought down in the Torah that we know that we have to give our lives for before transgressing. They are avodah zarah, idol worship. B, we have gilui arayah, sexual immorality. And third, shvichus damim, murder. But leaving Shvichus Dam and Gilui Arayos on the side, the one of Avodah Zarah, where are its roots? What brings upon this obligation to have to give our lives before transgressing this Avera? So you might tell me, like I thought, Avodah Zarah and belief in God is so fundamental to ourselves and our religion that life is meaningless. It means nothing without belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's worthy of death. Maybe you might have argued to me. And that's what I thought as well. Until I saw in Elia Weinshaw's Parish on Nefesh HaChaim, he quotes the Ran, a later Rishon in Psachim, who says that the obligation to give our lives for Avodah Zarah actually comes from our Pasuk. Right? From the mitzvah of Avas Hashem B'chol Nefesh. The mitzvah of Avas Hashem B'chol Nefesh forces us to give our lives for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how much we need to love Him. That's the quality. Avas b'chol lev is quantity, avas b'chol nefesh is quality. There's this story I read, there's a biography called All for the Boss. Have any of us ever heard of it? All for the Boss is about Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman. I have an interesting question. Did anyone here actually know Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman? No. Okay. I was just wondering. It'd be interesting. Of course, that's not a question I would have asked typically. I'm just wondering. So Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman, in this story, his daughter Ruchama writes the book, and they had many orchim. They were one of the Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman was the pioneer in American Jewry in the early 1900s. He was known as the Machnis Oreach, the one who would host people. Rav Baruch Baron and son-in-law Reuven Grozovsky used to visit to fundraise for the Yeshivas Kamenetz. And they were once telling a story to the Herman family. They were on their way to fundraise one time, and they stopped over in Paris. In Paris, they stayed in a hotel. In this hotel, on Shabbos, Reuven Grozovsky, the son-in-law of Baruch Ber, was the Rosh Hashiva of Yeshivas Kamenetz, He walked into the bathroom, and the bathroom, even then, apparently, in the early 1900s, had automatic lights. How they had that, I don't know. But that's what how the story goes. And he realized when he walked in that the lights turned on and that he wouldn't be able to walk out. After a long time, his father-in-law is thinking to himself, where's my son-in-law? Only to realize at the end of Shabbos that he had been a prisoner to the lights in the bathroom all of Shabbos. That type of Mesiras Nefesh, the quality of commitment of our Ava, to be so in tune with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's what we mean B'chol Nefesh. It doesn't always literally need to mean dying, of course it could, but it's also just about that Mesiras Nefesh, taking it that extra mile. I don't know if I would be able to do that, but I'm just saying, just to bring the point home of what it means B'chol Nefesh. And we dealt with B'chol Me'odatha. So now I want to bring our attention to the next pasuk, source 2. V'haya im tishmu, the next parsha in Shema. V'haya im tishmu el mitzvosai asher anochi mitzave eschem hayom. Right, and if you will listen to my mitzvos that I command you today, Bnei Yisrael, hayom la'avas Hashem lokechem, that we saw already. Now, what's the chiddush in this pasuk? Ula avdo b'chol levavchem u'v'chol nafshechem. Again, we see those two words, b'chol levavchem u'v'chol nafshechem. We know how that applies to Ava. But what other type of obligation is there now? Avuda, ula avdo. So we said Ava b'chol lev is quantity. We said Ava b'chol nefesh is quality. Now we have avoda b'chol lev. So what's avoda shebalev? Avoda shebalev is tefillah. Right, as we've been learning about this entire week. And we have a Gemara. I'm sure that I can't imagine that we've gone through this entire week without someone else quoting this Gemara. So if you've seen it before, again, I'm happy to provide some chazar, and if not, then I'm happy to introduce you to it. So source 3. The Gemara says, and we know on the tefillah, what's the source for tefillah? The Tanya, as the Braisa says, La'ava es Hashem Elokeichem u'la'avdo b'chol levavchem. Ezo hi avoda shebalev. So what is avoda shebalev? Havei omer, it must be zo tefillah, that it's tefillah. So tefillah is what avoda shebalev is. Very nice, that's an obligation of ours to daven every day, to machlokes, is it deoraisa, derabanan? Okay, we'll leave that for the side. Ironically, we're going to leave the tefillah obligation on the side. Now Reb Chaim V'loshin and Nefesh Chaim Shar Beis now focuses on the last obligation mentioned in this pasuk. Avoda b'chol nefesh. What is avoda b'chol nefesh and what does it mean? So now we're going to leave that question on the side. We're actually not going to get back to that for now. We're not going to get back to that. That's not the main point of the discussion. I just wanted to introduce it in the way that Reb Chaim V'loshin does. What we're going to focus on now is brachas. Right? The formulation of a bracha that we say many, many times a day. I think I messed up a little bit on the organization of the Mekoros. At this point, I should have put source 8. What source 8 on your sheet should have been the next source. So if you wouldn't mind just dropping down to that, we're gonna let's go to source 8. So source 8, the Nusach Birchas HaMitzvah, we have multiple types of brachos that we say. We have Birchas HaNanin, brachos when we praise God for something like food, right? And then we have Birchas HaMitzvah. We're going to focus on Birchas HaMitzvah. Maybe it conveys the point that we're trying to get it a little bit more clear than Birchas HaNanin. Although the rule will also be true for Birchos that you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with as well. Brachos, the way that the Nusach HaBracha goes, Baruch Ata Hashem. So let me ask, if you were to typically translate Baruch, how would we translate Baruch Ata Hashem? Just feel free to scream it out. Anyone, or you can raise your hand. How would you translate? It starts with a B. Blessed. Thank you. Whoever said that. Blessed, right? That's how you would typically translate blessed. I would have said that also. Good. Very nice. Baruch Ata Hashem. Blessed are you, Hashem. Elokeinu Melech Olam. Our God, the King of the world. Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvos V'Tzivanu. We'll get back to that in 1 second. Reb Chaim V'loshin says that Baruch is translated a little bit differently than what you might typically say. He acknowledges the Havamina, as we would call it in learning, right? He acknowledges what you might have thought. You for sure might have thought it means blessed, but he says differently. Source 6, he says, V'aimim kimilas Baruch. What's really going on with the Mila of Baruch, with the word of Baruch in Brachos? Eino lashon tehila v'shevach. It doesn't mean the praise or the blessed that we thought it means. That's not what it means. And he even acknowledges, Kimosha Suma Bifiya Amon, like it's placed in the mouths of most people. I'm most people. Until I learned this is exactly what I thought. It means, blessed are you Hashem, and art scroll isn't helping us with that. Because that's, I mean, I'm not blaming them, Chas V'Shalom, they're not about to, but they do good things for the Jewish people. I'm just saying, you know, it's understandable that we would have thought blessed. Aval ha'emes, but in truth, ki baruch, what is it that baruch means? Perusho lashon tosefes v'ribui. What it means is to add, right? It's to bring a greater amount of, right? To add additional. We're saying, Baruch Ata Hashem. Hashem, you should be more present in this world. There should be a greater amount of you. Whether you want to call it an acknowledgement or a request, okay, there's what to go back and forth about whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already present. But let's just say for now, right, we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want you to be more present. Please be more present in the world. And just to bring you a couple of rayas, a couple of proofs to this, here are a couple of psukim, right? Where even Reb Chaim acknowledges the necessity for it to mean additional. Va'avartem es Hashem Elokeichem, you should serve your God. Ubeiraches lachmecha, and then He will make fruitful, He will add, He will make more your food. Ve'esmei mecha, right? And your water. Va'asirusi macha mikirbecha. And then again, right, and He will make you have many children. And then the last one. Or do we have any Avram Fried fans in the Avram Fried fans? Okay, only a few. Okay, I grew up on Avram Fried. My parents were very into it. One song that I always loved by Avram Fried was the song Tanya. I don't know if you know the song Tanya. I'm not going to break out into song, although I have a taiva too. Okay. So the song Tanya retells the story of Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, right? Pamachas nichnasti, says he's the Kohen Gadol, and he enters into the Kodesh HaKadoshim laktir kitoides because he wants to burn the incense. Lifnai v'lifnim, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'ra'isi ha'katrikel ka Hashem tzivakos, he sees Hashem, and Hashem says to him, Yishmol bini borcheni, bless me, Yishmol bini. And then what does he respond? Amarti lo. Yishmol bini says, Yehiratzon milfonecha. No, he doesn't give a blessing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He asks from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yehiratzon milfonecha sheyich b'shu rachamecha es kascha. Right, that your rachamim should overcome your kas. What does this have to do with blessing? Right? It's all bakasha. We're asking him. We're asking him to be more present in the world to help us. Right? But we're not blessing him. It's clear that the word bracha doesn't refer to blessing, but rather to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence into this world in a more intense way. So that's Baruch Ata Hashem. But now let's Baruch Ata. Now I want to, or just Baruch actually. You'll see what. It's really just Baruch. Let's get to the next part of the next part of the bracha. If you go back to source 8, there seems to be an inconsistency in how we're referring to God. Maybe you've heard of this question before. Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed, more present are you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, in the world. Are you Ata Hashem, right? Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, our God, the King of the world, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu. The bracha began in second person, Ata Hashem. Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, and it continued in second person. Maybe you could argue. Asher Kiddushanu, he who, what's Kiddushanu? I put a footnote on the bottom for you to break it down. Asher Kiddushanu, who Kiddush Osanu? It's in third person. If I were to translate that into English, it would be more present are you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our King of the world. He who sanctified us, right? He sanctified us. Not you sanctified us. It should say, Asher Kiddushtanu, that you sanctified us, b'mitzvosecha, with your mitzvos, right? Why is it in third person? Why does the brachos transition from first referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in second person, only then referring to him in third person? So Reb Chaim has a beautiful, and this is really where I wanted to get to. He has a very insightful point. He says, when we talk about bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world, there are almost two characteristics, or I'm not going to say that, it's not true. There is the essential HaKadosh Baruch Hu that created the world. There is what we would refer to as Atzmius Shel Hashem, right? The actual HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When He created the world couldn't handle the overwhelming presence And I'm saying this in, I don't even fully understand this. I'm doing my best to convey. But to the extent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ever present, right, and nothing exists outside of Him, it was impossible for the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to exist in the world when He created it. And so what we were left with, we refer to Hashem in Shemos, right, through names. We say, Yudke Vavke, Elohim, Tel Shakai, Tivakos, all different names of Hashem. They refer to different midos, different ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to this world, different ways in which we relate to Him, in ways in which we experience Him. But none of them are Him itself. None of them are HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to acknowledge that. Source 9. Omnam, Inyan HaBracha Lo Yizbarach Shemo. When we refer to being Mevarech, bringing His presence into the world, Ein HaKavono LaAtzmus Adon Yachid Baruch Hu Kav Yachol. We're not referring to the essential Hashem. We're not referring to the being of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was the creator of the world, the indescribable, unrelatable HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not who we're referring to, Chalila Chalila, that we would refer to Him. He's beyond what we can do in bringing Him into this world. Right? His existence is beyond our existence to the extent that we can bring Him in. Even the Zohar HaKadosh refers to this HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Ein Sof. Right? The Zohar refers to Him as Ein Sof. There's no end. But what's the implication of there's no end? What was there? There was a beginning. Right? But there's no beginning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even that is a name that limits Him to an extent, right? I heard a mashal. We refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in these names only for our ease of understanding, to be able to relate to Him in some kind of way so we can have a relationship. Yudke Vavke effectively takes on this name, which is a catch-all. That's the closest name that we have that can refer to the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but isn't Him. Really, it refers to His ability to always sustain the world. I heard a mashal from a Rebbe of mine, Rav Mordechai Appel in Toronto. We try to learn weekly, Nefesh HaChaim, and he told me over the following mashal. It would be, if we asked someone who was blind from birth to describe the color red, without anyone having explained to him first, it would be impossible for him to describe the color red. He might be able to tell you what the color red does. He could tell you the color red when it's on a stop sign indicates stop. Right? He could tell it indicates maybe danger. He can't describe it for you though. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in His essential form. We can't describe His essential form, but we can talk about how we relate to Him. Right? That, like a stop sign, Kav Yachol, or how, not Kav Yachol, sorry, that you stop at a stop sign, so too I interact with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lahavdil, that's the word I was looking for. Lahavdil. So just to bring a medrash that conveys this point in Parsha Shmos, when Hashem tells Moshe to go to Bnei Israel to reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His presence to them, Moshe responds and says, They're going to ask for your name. And what's the name that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Moshe should tell them? Very nice, right? Ekya Asher Ekya. And I say Ekya Asher Ekya because this is also a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Within this context. Source 10. Vayomer Elokim al Moshe, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal, Amar Le HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Shmi Ata Mevakesh Leda, you want to know my name? Lefi Ma'asai Ani Nikra, I'm known by my actions. Pa'amim Ani Nikra B'Kel Shakai, sometimes I'm known as Kel Shakai, B'Tzivakos, B'Elokim, B'Hashem. Kshani Danes Abrios, Ani Nikra Elokim, when I'm being done, when I'm judging the world, I'm called Elokim. Ukshani Ose Milchama Birisham Ani Nikra Tzivakos, when I do war with the Risham, I'm called Tzivakos. Ukshani Tole Al Chata'av Shel Adam Ani Nikra Kel Shakai. Right, when I'm thinking about and when I'm dealing with the sins of Adam, I'm called Kel Shakai. Ukshani Mirachim Al Olami Ani Nikra Hashem. When I give mercy over to my world, I'm called Yud Kei Vav Kei Shein Hashem El Amid Tarachamim. I'm Shenemar Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum Echanim. Have, and so then finally, what is this name of Ekya Asher Ekya? We've pretty much exhausted every other midah. So what's this midah of Ekya Asher Ekya? Have Ekya Asher Ekya Ani Nikra Lufi Masai. That's the name that references my being referred to through multiple names. My inability to be conceptualized and referred to in this world, because this world is limiting, we don't have the capacity, but it's fine. You should know that there are bechinos of me, there are characteristics, there are non-hagos, there are behaviors of mine that can be referred to. That's ekya asher ekya. So the reason why we transition between second person to third person, we establish Baruch, bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world in a greater way. But which HaKadosh Baruch Hu are we relating to? Ata. Baruch Ata Hashem. Right? More present are you, the Hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the behavior, the interaction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Right? This cash all Hanhaga. Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Now what's Elokeinu Melech HaOlam? There's a concept in Judaism, Ein Melech Belo Am. There's no Melech without a nation. Only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world was there a necessity, and he became the king, was there a necessity for him to have Hanhagos, for him to have Midos, for him to have Shemos. Before it was just Atzmius, it was his essence. Right? So Baruch Ata Hashem, more present are you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in this world. Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, our king, the one who wanted to create the world and to have a nation. Asher Kiddushanu. Now we take a step back. And we say, now, who's the one that gave us the mitzvahs? The one who gave us the mitzvahs wasn't these the way that we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the interactions that he has in this world, but rather the essential Hashem, the essential God. Asher Kiddushanu, because he was the one that was Mekadosh us, that sanctified us, the mitzvosav, the Kiddushanu mitzvot tzivosav, al mitzvahs, whatever it may be. Whatever it may be, al hadlakos neros. Right? When you light candles, that's a unique way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to bring His Shekhinah into this world. That's the difference. Now we kind of understand a little bit better the difference between Baruch, meaning Tosefes V'ribui, second person referring to the Anhaga, the Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then finally, the one that we're really relating to, which is the, we can't relate to, but we attempt to bring His Shekhinah into the world, the third person, Atzmius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now just something amazing that I saw, that a friend of mine, Jordan Ginsburg, his grandfather is Mr. Ginsburg, I don't know if he's here, but Mr. Ginsburg, he's in Deerfield Beach. Anyway, we learned together a little bit, and he brought to my attention this beautiful Rabbeinu Bechaya, which I think really conveys this duality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This Rabbeinu Bechaya is talking about the Egel. Right? Post the Egel, there was an interaction between Hashem and Moshe. And we'll read the Psukim. The Psukim say, Hashem is now meeting with Moshe, and Moshe says, Ve'ata, and now, imna matzasi chen be'inecha, if I found favor in your eyes, hodieni noiz dirachecha, show me your ways. Notice the lashon, hodieni noiz dirachecha. Show me your ways. Ve'edacha, and I should know you. Laman em tzachin be'inecha, so that I can find favor in your eyes. Ureki amcha agoy azeh. Vayomer Hashem responds, Pana yilichu v'ani chosilach. I will lead you. Then skip down to Pasuk Yud Ches. And now, interestingly, Moshe repeats himself seemingly. He says, Vayomer hareini noz kivodecha. Vayomer, he says, show me your kavod, your honor. Pasuk Yutes, Vayomer, Hashem responds. He gives two responses, but it's unclear what's going on. They seem to be contradictory. Ani avir kol tuvi al panecha. He says, I will before you pass all of my good. And then in the next pasuk, he says, Vayomer lo suchal lirosis panai. You won't be able to see me. Ki lo yirani adam v'chai. So what's pshat? Can he see him or can't he? Are we able to experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu or aren't we? What's Moshe asking for? Hareini noz kevodecha, hodieni noz derachecha. What's pshat? But now we know the answer. Rabbeinu Bechaya says beautifully, hodieni noz derachecha, your drachim, the ways you interact with me. That's the hanhagos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe starts small. He says, show me your ways, your bechinos. Let me become close to you. Let me expose you into this world. And so Hashem responds, Ani avir kol tuvi al ponecha. I will show you that. Then Moshe says, a little excited, Rashi comments in Eis Ratzon, noticing that maybe he has a chance, he says, Hareini noz kivodecha, show me now your essence. The part of you that we've never had exposure to, show it to me. And what does Hashem say? In Pasuk Chaf, he responds, Lo suchal lirosis panai. You can't see that. That you'll never be able to experience. That you can't bring into this world. Ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. I won't go through the Rabbeinu B'chai. You can feel free to read it yourself. But that's how he learns the Pasuk. And so now we understand a little bit better. When we make brachos, all throughout the day we have brachos ha-mitzvah, right? We have brachos ha-mitzvah and we have brachos in tefillah throughout Shemona Esrei. When we're saying the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the other side of the table that we're talking to, so to speak, in this meeting, in this pgisha with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? We're not relating to the essential HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're relating to Hanhagos, different parts of him, different midos that he has. But of course, the person that we're trying to bring into this world ultimately is the one that we're davening to is the essential HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It happens to be we can't relate to that. We don't have the capability. Our bracha means nothing to that because he's beyond this world. But through the Anhagos, through the shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say, please, come into this world. Be more present. Each individual mitzvah brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world in its own unique way. When we talk about mitzvos, right? And sometimes we ask ourselves, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu really care? Does he really care about this individual mitzvah, this bracha I make? And the answer is yes. Because every time we make a bracha, every time we perform a mitzvah, we're bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world in a unique way. In a way that he wasn't previously in this world. So Be'ezer Hashem, first of all, I just want to say thank you one more time for everything. And Be'ezer Hashem, we should be able to continue in our growth, right, in our learning, and especially in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, understanding that through every mitzvah and every bracha, we bring him more into our world at large and into our personal lives. Shkaya. All right.
Thank you. Now I understand exactly what Shema is, how you interpret it. Fantastic. The way the whole group is too.
Sky.
Thank you so much.
Fabulous.
Thank you so much.
Why is everything hell on dubber? Why is the kids figure it out yourself?
Why is it hell on dubber?